Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, 18, and then also Acts chapter 1. We're going to do something a little different tonight and pray that technology will work well. I don't know how well you can see the map on the screen, but I hope it's well enough that you kind of make out what's going on. We're going to try very quickly to fly through what we've covered so far in the book of Acts. Sometimes when we get verse by verse in a book, it's easy to get kind of bogged down and to lose the big picture. And I just want you to get the sense of what God's done already through these Spirit-filled disciples, that as they have sought to carry out the work that Christ has called them to do, the area that they've covered, the places that the gospel's gone, at least get some sense of that tonight. So that's the goal, but it all started, remember, when Jesus rose from the grave. He spent 40 days and 40 nights with the disciples, appearing to them, different ones at different times, at one time over 500 brethren at once, and among those times, he gave them what we refer to as the Great Commission, and I'd like you to stand with me as we read these familiar verses tonight. Matthew 28, you're going to have to use your Bibles tonight. You can't cheat and look at the screen tonight, because we're going to look at the map instead. So get your Bibles or your device that has your Bible, Matthew 28. I'd like you to look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity. We pray that you'll bless your word and bless as we try to gain a better understanding. I pray that the tools we use will be beneficial to that end. To have a better idea, a better concept, a better understanding of the work that you've done through your disciples in preaching the gospel in different places and carrying out the work that you have given, you gave them to do and that you've given us to do. Lord, please help us to be filled with your Spirit, to be completely surrendered to your will, that you would work through us and help us to do the work that you've called us to do by your grace, by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or we might understand it better. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing those disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Now that's the work that he called them to do. Now if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll remember Jesus again before he ascends, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we begin. Here's the Middle East on Google Earth, and the next thing we'll see is Jerusalem as we fly in there. Hope nobody gets motion sick. That'd be terrible. They began at Jerusalem. This is the what we know as the Temple Mount, the site that most people agree that was the place where the temple was. And remember, the church early on in Acts, that's where they met. They were in Jerusalem in the upper room. And when the Spirit of God came on them, they went everywhere preaching. And you'll remember that they met at this location in the place called Solomon's Porch. It was a portico outside. Lots of them could gather, and they preached the gospel there. And many believed and were baptized, thousands on the day of Pentecost. And then as they continued, the Lord added daily to the church. They kept meeting there. And of course, the more the gospel grew, the more the opposition grew. And we studied a lot about all the things that took place there at Jerusalem as Peter and John went up to the Temple Mount and the lame man that was laying there and was healed and all the ruckus that that caused. And we studied about a lot of things that happened. But then persecution came because the gospel grew and more people came to that. The Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, the elders, the rulers at the temple, they were so worried about losing their power and their prestige, they began to persecute the Christians there. And so that caused them to scatter. And next we'll see they moved up to the area of Judea and Samaria. In Acts 8:1, it says, Saul was consenting unto his death. That's the stoning of Stephen. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church. It was at Jerusalem. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and except for the apostles. They stayed back at Jerusalem. But this would be north of Jerusalem, this area where they were scattered abroad. And the Bible says in Acts 8:4 that they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. And then in particular, we have Philip, who was sent by God to Samaria, and he preached the word there, and many people were saved and baptized, and a great revival was taking place in Samaria. In the middle of that great revival, God took Philip and sent him down to the next place, which is called Gaza, way down south. This is known as the Gaza Strip. This would be the journey that you would go from Jerusalem back down along the coast, back way south, to Ethiopia. Remember how he met the eunuch there in the chariot? You remember how he was reading from Isaiah and how Philip started at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. And he said, there's water here. Why can't I get baptized? And he said, if you believe, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. And so they stopped. He is baptized. And then the Spirit carries Philip away. And I just want you to see this next plot. The eunuch goes on his way, which is a long ways down to Ethiopia. Now, I want you to get a picture, get a sense of that, the hundreds of miles that they traveled, because you and I think it's a pain when we have to drive to Northwest Arkansas to get on an airplane. You had to drive somewhere to get on an airplane. And these people had to travel by foot or by chariot or some other means. And it was long, and it was hard, and it was dirty, and it was dusty, and it was dangerous. And everywhere they went, listen, this man went up to Jerusalem to worship God, but he came home a believer in Jesus. And he took the gospel with them back to Ethiopia. And I want you to just consider that. All these places they travel, you know, we travel for business, we travel for fun, we travel for a lot of reasons, but the people we're studying about, the vast majority of them traveled the way they did on hard, long, difficult, dangerous journeys, and they did it to take the gospel to people who didn't know. Amen. So now let's go back. Next takes us all the way back to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount. At Jerusalem, there was a man who was consenting to the stoning of Stephen. You remember his name was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a man who was zealous for God, and that caused him wrongly to hate the Christians. And he was persecuting the Christians. He was one of the main reasons that they were scattered from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And we find in Acts 9:3 that he desired for letters to go to Damascus so that he could find the Christians there so that he could bind them and throw them into prison. I want you to see this next so you understand where Damascus is. There's Jerusalem, Mediterranean Sea on the right, and Damascus is about, I think, around 130 miles north of there. And so I just want you to get this. As the gospel left Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, the Christians went there preaching the gospel everywhere they went. People were being saved and baptized. Churches were being established in these cities long before we come to Acts 13. And I think it's really important that you get this. The disciples, when they went anywhere, they went preaching the gospel, doing what Jesus told them to do that we read just a little bit ago in Matthew 28. They went doing the work that he told them to do. Go make disciples. And even when they were running for their lives, they went places preaching the gospel and making disciples. Isn't that glorious? Amen. It didn't matter where they went, what reason they went there, they were preaching. And so there were Christians in Damascus, and it was enough of there was enough Christians there. There was enough of a development of Christians there that Saul of Tarsus wanted to go there to find them and throw them in prison. So this was not a secret thing. Even though they were scattered in fear of their lives, it wasn't secret. Saul of Tarsus knew about it back in Jerusalem. He knew about the Christians who had established themselves in Damascus, and so he went up there to find them. But we know that before he made it into Damascus, he met someone. He met someone. And he saw a great light. And he heard a voice from heaven. And the voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And there he met Jesus of Nazareth. There he was blinded, but he was taken into Damascus. And there he received his sight, and he was baptized, and then began a new life for Saul of Tarsus that would change the lives easily of hundreds of thousands of Christians, if not millions. Because he met Jesus, he literally changed the world because he was fully surrendered to God. We learn that he was at Damascus for a little while. I wanted to kind of give you somewhat of a timeline tonight, too, just so we have kind of an idea in our mind. Assuming an AD 33 date for Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, if we assume that was about 33 AD, then the Apostle Paul would have met Jesus on the road to Damascus at about AD 35. So 35 AD, this is about 2 years after Jesus rose from the grave and ascended up to heaven. It's been about 2 years since that happened, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, we also know from other places in Scripture, Galatians 1:17, Paul says that he didn't go immediately to Jerusalem, but he went into Arabia, which we see next. And where in Arabia? Don't really know. You can see how brown it is there. We know he went into a desert place, probably not all the way over to the Persian Gulf or anything, but somewhere in that desert area out east of Damascus, he went out there and he spent 3 years and he learned directly from the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. Amen. He spent that time in the Arabian desert and he was there. And then next we see he goes back into Damascus and is there for a little while and he continues preaching the gospel. He has to flee for his life. So we've gone from 35 to 38 AD, somewhere around there, in just a few verses, as we read in our Bibles. But then he gets back into Damascus, and from there, he flees by night. Acts 9:25, the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem. So next we see he goes down into Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And believe not that he was a disciple. And remember Barnabas, the son of consolation. He comes to his defense and says, "Listen, I've seen this man's life change. I've heard him preach Jesus to the disciples. I've seen what Christ has done in his life." And so they take him in. He stays there and preaches for a little while. But it seems like everywhere the Apostle Paul goes, people want to kill him. And so when he's in Jerusalem for a little while, just a couple of weeks, within a couple of weeks, they were already trying to kill him there. They tried to kill him up in Damascus. Now he's down in Jerusalem, and they want to kill him there. And so they send him to the next place, which is Tarsus. And Tarsus, I want you to look at this. Tarsus is a long ways away, all the way up around the end of the Mediterranean. So he travels all the way up there. The brethren knew that they were trying to kill him, so they brought him down to Caesarea. From Caesarea, he took a ship to Tarsus, and so there he is. Now, it's going to be a while. Remember when we were studying at the end of Acts 9, we've been learning a lot about what's going on with Saul of Tarsus, and then we jump back to Jerusalem, and we learn a little bit more about what's going on back there. Now, next we're kind of picking up with, from Jerusalem, we're picking up with the story of what's going on with Peter. Back in Acts 9:32, it says, "It came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, and then from Lydda he goes over to Joppa." Now, I couldn't find exactly historically where Lydda is. It's my understanding it was somewhere along the close to what we call Joppa. That's what is modern-day Jaffa. And it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean. And there at Joppa, Acts 9:36, the Bible says, "There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation was called Dorcas. This one was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." And we remember all the things that happened with Tabitha and the great miracle that took place there. And then from Joppa, it's up to Caesarea, which is just up north on the coast. And we've studied a lot about Caesarea. There are tons of ruins here. There's a lot of history in Caesarea, the things that Herod did there, the things that he built, his palace there. And at Caesarea, we studied in Acts chapter 10 about a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And he was a devout man who was seeking to know God. And God sent him a vision about a man named Peter who was down in Joppa. And God sent a vision to the man named Peter that was in Joppa about a man named Cornelius. And God orchestrated to bring them together so that that Jew would go to that Gentile's house and preach the gospel to Cornelius and to his household and to all his friends that he would gather together. And Peter would go there and preach the gospel. And the Spirit of God fell on the Gentiles just like he did on the Jews back at the day of Pentecost. And the Gentiles were welcomed in to the family of God, into the church, into the kingdom of Christ, because these men were willing to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. And the gospel came to them in to the Gentiles first at Caesarea. And then moving on ahead as quickly as we can, Acts 11:2, back to Jerusalem. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. And so, again, every time we see the gospel moving forward and God doing great things, anytime you move forward, you're going to be with resistance. And it happened outside from those that were without, and it happened within. And so there was always some resistance. There was always some friction. There was always some strife. And can I just encourage you tonight? So many Christians today, they act like as long as everything's going perfect and smooth, that that must be God's will. And if they come up against any resistance at all, that must not be God's will. I'm going to tell you, that idea is foreign to the scriptures. Amen. Men and women in the Bible who did what God led them to do often met with resistance. They had fightings and fears. They had troubles and tribulations and trials. And there were enemies. And they had their own struggles, and there were struggles within the church and without the church. And listen, just because things are hard doesn't mean that God's not in it. Amen. We have to be led of the Spirit. And we can't let our circumstances dictate what we do and what we don't do. And so we've covered a lot of ground already. This part that we're studying now, when the Apostle Paul was sent from Jerusalem up to Tarsus because they were trying to kill him there. He went all the way up to Tarsus. And Peter, all these things are going on back down in Jerusalem and Joppa and Caesarea. This time period was probably anywhere from at least 5 years, but maybe as many as 10 years. But let's just assume that it was from about 38 A.D. to 43 A.D. that this at least a five-year period, these things have been going on. And so we continue on about 43 A.D., when the scriptures tell us that they that were scattered, Acts 11:19 says, when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And so from Jerusalem over to the island of Cyprus, right there in the middle of the Mediterranean, there at Cyprus, you would see next, I think, takes us all the way down to Cyrene. So on the south side of the Mediterranean, these are the ruins of Cyrene. So they sailed across Cyprus and then down to this area of Syria and preached the gospel there. It says this time they were preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so from here, way down south of the Mediterranean, Cyrene, we go up to Antioch. So across and all the way back over to this area. So they've traveled a long ways, taking the gospel to a lot of different places. Now, I'm persuaded that as they made these journeys, they didn't just preach the gospel in the cities that we have mentioned, but everywhere they went along the way, they were preaching. Acts 11:22 says, tidings of these things came to the ears of the church was at Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. What was going on in Antioch? Well, the preaching of the gospel was going on and people were getting saved and God was moving in a great way. And then from Antioch, we see next that Barnabas goes up to Tarsus to find Paul. And then from Tarsus, they go back to Antioch. Isn't that fun? Like in a few seconds, we fly from one to the other. I can assure you it wasn't like that for them. These places that we zoom from place to place took days to walk or even sail. Some of the places we've talked about them traveling weeks or even months or years. And it's just astounding to think about how much effort it took just to go from one place to another. And it's real easy to read through the verses, and it's real easy for Dave to click on the next button back there. But it's just a reminder that these things took so much time and took so much effort, right? Amen. And some of you don't even want to drive to Walmart for pickup. Like, that's too hard, right? It's a struggle to zoom through Walmart pickup and click on the buttons and then have to drive there and wait on them. I just want you to realize how spoiled we are. And they did these things to take the gospel to people, and we'll see later, not only to see the conversion of those who were lost, but the confirmation of those who were saved. So we've gone from Antioch up to Tarsus. Barnabas goes to get Saul and brings him back to Antioch. And Antioch, in chapter 11, verse 26, says, "When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." And this is where we read, the disciples were called Christians first and Antioch. And then prophets come from Jerusalem up to Antioch, and then we're back in Jerusalem again. Acts 11, 27, "These days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch." Verse 29, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." You remember Agabus had the prophecy that there was going to be a great dearth. And so all of these people in Judea made a determination. They wanted to send relief to them in Judea. And so they did, verse 30, Acts 11, 30, "which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So Barnabas and Saul come from Antioch back down to Jerusalem. Now the scene moves back up to Antioch, and from Antioch to Seleucia. Seleucia being a seaport on up further north from where we've been, but just west of Antioch. And Acts 13 is where we're at. "So they being sent from the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus." And here at Cyprus, you have the places Salamis on the east. Should be next, I think. Yep. And there you can see, I don't know if you can see the picture there, some ancient ruins at Salamis. And then from there to Paphos on the other side of the island. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus." We studied about that. "And from there to Perga and Pamphylia." So there, this time, instead of going south to Syria, they go up north. And there's the Perga Theater, ancient ruins there in Pamphylia. "Now when they loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." So it was in this area that he would have left and gone home, but they continued on north to the other Antioch. This is not Antioch in Syria, which is on the east side of the Mediterranean. This is up north, and this is Antioch in Pisidia. "They departed from Perga, came to Antioch in Pisidia. They went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." And remember how they preached the gospel there, and many people believed. From Antioch, they go over to Iconium. Modern-day Konya. This is where we read, "Before they went there, they shook off the dust of their feet, came to Iconium." And verse 52, Acts 13 says, "The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." It doesn't say it, but I'm going to say they were probably tired. Earlier this month, I took a road trip with my dad. We drove over to Cookeville, Tennessee, just on the other side, about an hour east of Nashville. We drove all day out there, spent the night, went to a funeral, drove all day back, and I was tired because I sat in a car driving miles an hour all the way there and back. You get tired just sitting in the car for a few hours. Some of you have taken some long trips, even in an airplane. Just sitting in an airplane, you get tired. But I just can't imagine what it was like for these missionaries, these evangelists, these prophets and teachers, whatever label you want to give them, just as they went from place to place to place. I mean, just look at the picture. I don't know how well you can see the details, but you can see the terrain there. Like, this is not easy. Like, they don't have bridges 100 feet high going over the mountains. It was tough. It was difficult. It was dangerous. There were bandits along the way, and they just continued to go and continued to go. And in the middle of it all, they're filled with joy, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. Because it wasn't about their physical difficulties. It was about their spiritual victories that God was giving them. All right. So from here in Iconium, next they go over to Lystra, just southwest of there, and there's a mound. My understanding is some ruins in that area as well. From Lystra up to Derbe, and not exactly sure exactly where Derbe is. Somewhere in this area to the east is what is believed to be Derbe. And this is the area, Lystra, where the Apostle Paul was stoned to the point they thought he was dead. When they all went back in the city, the disciples are standing around him. He gets up out of the pile of rocks. He goes back into the city. And from there, they go over to Derbe. And from Derbe, back into Lystra. From Lystra, where he was stoned, they go back to Iconium. And all the way back. From Iconium or Konya back to Antioch of Pisidia. All of these places where they were ran off because they were in fear of their lives. From Antioch here in Pisidia, Pamphylia, we go on down. Back to Perga. From Perga, just a little bit south to Attalia. When they preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And then it says in Acts 14:26, thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they end up back in Antioch. The Bible says in Acts 15:3, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. They caused a great joy unto all the brethren. You remember we just studied about the question came up. So it was after this first trip when they're up in Antioch. The question comes up about whether the Gentiles need to be circumcised or not. So they're sent by the church from Antioch up in the north to come down through Judea and Samaria back to Jerusalem. And while they're coming through Judea and Samaria, Phinehas and Samaria area, they go through Phinehas and Samaria declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they cause great joy unto all the brethren. And so all of this has taken place and led us to about 49 AD. So we've gone from 33 all the way up to 49. Many, many years have passed in the few pages that you turn in your Bible. And I think it's important for us to understand that because we have very limited details. Very limited details. We don't know all the things that took place. Now, you think about all the things that have taken place in your life from that number of years. In about the last 16 years, how has your life changed? I mean, in my life in the last 16 years, Abigail wasn't here. Now she's learning to drive. Amen. Things have changed. Amen. Things have changed. So you think about where you were 16 years ago, all the things that have taken place. And I just want you to get a concept of the time and the distance and the things that God has done. And he's been at work in all of it. So they come down to Jerusalem, back to that area. I just keep taking you back to the Temple Mount. It seems like a good place to go. They were come to Jerusalem, they received with the church, the apostles and elders, declared all the things that God had done with them. And so they tell them about everything that's happened since they left. And remember, according to Scripture, it doesn't look like the Apostle Paul's been back to Jerusalem since he went up to Tarsus. Remember, he was up in Tarsus all this time until Barnabas came and got him, went back to Antioch, and then he goes on this big journey everywhere they've been. And so he's got a lot to tell about what God has done. Barnabas has a lot to tell about God was done. And then they have the council there, make their decisions about it. We understand that salvation does not come through circumcision. It doesn't come through keeping the law. And so they make that ruling and make it clear that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They send them back with their letters, back up to Antioch. They come to Antioch, they gather the multitude together, they deliver the epistle, they cause great joy there. And this is kind of brings us back to where we were this morning. This is where John, Mark, and Barnabas, Barnabas and Paul have the disagreement, the contention, and Barnabas and John Mark, they take off and go over to Cyprus. So they would have gone down to the seacoast and sailed over to Cyprus, so they head over this direction. Remember that on their missionary journey, they had gone this way, right? They went to Salamis, they went over to Paphos, and then they sailed up. Remember how they did that? So this is the direction Barnabas and John Mark go, but look at where Paul and Silas go. They don't go west, but they go north into the area of modern-day Turkey, Syria and Cilicia. You see Tarsus still there on the map, kind of in the middle. Everybody see Tarsus there? Okay. And so they remember, he had already been in that area for a long time preaching, and they want to go to that area. And he goes through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay. That's really important, because that area wasn't part of where they had been over to Perga and Lystra and Derbe, Iconium, Antioch and Pisidia. That's not where they had been. This area is Tarsus. This area is Turkey. This area is where the Apostle Paul spent all that time while we were studying about what was going on with Peter. And so there are churches in this area, and by the scattering of the disciples from Jerusalem, by the sending of Paul to that region, the gospel has gone and multiplied in those places, and they go through that area confirming the churches. And from there, going up north into that region, they go up to Derbe. See, as it's on the far east side, and then over to Lystra. And so they've come up to the north and back around to the west, to Derbe and to Lystra. And next you see just, it says the cities. The cities, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. What cities? Well, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch of Pisidia, Attalia, Perga, all the places where they had gone. They go back through those places, confirming the churches and delivering the decrees to let them know, listen, there may be some guys come around here. And those guys may start telling you that in order, as a Gentile, in order for you to be saved, you've got to be circumcised and keep the law. And we're here to tell you the truth. We're here to confirm you that it's faith in Christ alone that saves. And so they go through preaching and confirming them. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, I wanted to walk through all of that with you, give you some kind of timeline. We've gone from AD 33 to around AD 49, somewhere in that area. We're around 49 to 50 AD at this time. All of these things have taken place in all the places that they've gone and all the hardships that they faced, and they did it to do what Jesus told them to do before he ascended into heaven. Amen. Listen, what they had was a command from Jesus, and they had a zeal from the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you this tonight as we get ready for a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask our musicians to go ahead and make their way up. I'm going to ask you this. Do we have the same command from Jesus? Amen. Do we? Amen. Or was it just for those disciples way back then? I mean, he appointed those disciples to come, and they showed up. They met him there at Galilee. Was that command just for them, or does it apply to us? Do we have a mandate to make disciples? All right, so we have the same mandate. Let me ask you this. Do we have the same Spirit that came on them at the day of Pentecost? Is the same Spirit in you that was in Peter? and John. The same Spirit in you that was in Stephen and in Philip and James and Barnabas and Silas and Paul is the same Spirit in you that was in them? Because here's what I don't understand. If we have the same command and we have the same power, why aren't we doing the same work? And listen, I'm not even trying to talk about results. The results are up to God. Amen. I'm just saying, are we striving for the same work? And you can tell me, listen, Brother Isaac, I just don't have time. What kind of time do you think they had? I got a feeling Paul spent the vast majority of his life after he was saved walking. Amen. Like, I don't know that he spent most of his time anywhere. I think it was going from place to place. Days walking, weeks walking, months sailing. And you tell me you don't have time. You say you're too busy. Let's say this. If we're too busy to strive to preach and teach the Word of God, then we're too busy. And if anything's going to give, it ought not be doing the work that Christ commanded us to do. Making disciples ought to be our priority because it's our command. It's our mandate. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what verse? I just want to encourage you tonight. The Spirit of God's convicting your heart. If you're like me and you recognize that we fall short in fulfilling the work that Christ has given us, that we would repent, that we would seek God's face, that we would ask Him to stir up the Spirit that's in us to do the work we already know what to do, but that we would have the zeal, the energy from the Spirit of God to go and do the work He's called us to do. If He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.